Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are barely here. We're actually beholding to a baby. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But what's on the show this week, sir?
Nintendo. That's going to be what we, at least news-wise, what we talk about. I didn't even send you anything else in the show notes. It's literally just like, hey, Switch 2. We're going to talk Switch 2. What we know about it at this point, which is not very much, but we can talk about what we do know, and then a whole lot of speculation that's been out there for a while that's now seeming more real. And so that's going to be a big thing. But of course, we also have to talk a lot of Indiana Jones, because we've been playing Indiana Jones and have not been able to talk about it face-to-face in a month. And so I'm curious about what your thoughts are. I know you're curious. And so, that should be a fun discussion, too.
I was actually literally playing it this morning. I'm like, I should be working. I should be doing something. And then I was like, wait, we're doing a show today. This is work. So,
that's right. Yeah, I fired it up this morning, too. So, good times.
So we're going to have a good time talking about that. We apologize in advance because you will see that we are indie geeks, if you don't already know that. The game has some serious issues, some problems that we have, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Other than that, what is up, sir?
Not a whole lot. Like you mentioned, we are beholden to a baby right now. That little guy is napping while we're trying to do this. We have notably been off for a while. Everybody realizes that, so we are very happy to be here and be back.
Yes.
Part of that's just like navigating holidays and stuff with two children is tough. And I know a lot of people listening have more than two children, and God bless you, because I don't understand. Like, we are barely making it with two kids. But having a baby does just throw a wrench in so many things.
It does, yes.
A beautiful wrench, a good wrench. I am thankful for that wrench, but it's a wrench nonetheless. And so here we are. We're making it work. And if baby starts screaming here in a little bit, you may hear it in the background, and the show may get cut a little bit short, but he should be primed for a good nap, so we're hopeful we'll be able to at least get through.
Yes. A place where I'm not sure either one of us ever thought we would be. But here we are.
It's pretty wild to think about when we started this show, when we were in college, literally college students, and now we're in our 40s, and that we would be doing this show in and of itself 20 years later, which is coming up very soon.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's something we got to think about. I haven't put any thought to that until right now. We got to figure that out. But we got 20 years coming up here a little bit, but to think we'd be doing this 20 years later and being like waiting for a baby to cry to break the show is pretty amazing.
I'm gonna blow your mind a little more, because not only do we have 20 years coming up, but the 500th episode is creeping up.
I know. It would have been, if we would have been more on top of things, we could have got those where they would have aligned, and that would have been really fun.
Yeah. That would have been some great marketing right there, but that
would have been
on us.
This is 492. I don't think we're squeezing in 8 shows in the next 4 months. Weeks. So it seems unlikely.
Yeah.
We can just skip some numbers. Who cares? It's all arbitrary anyway. Like, just make it up. So we just skip like 493 to 499 and then call it 500. And we go.
I've been sort of lurking around the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't listen to Joe Rogan on a regular basis, but I'm
sure
if he has somebody who I find interesting, then I'll fire it up. And I'm looking at the numbers that he's got, and I'm thinking, okay, we've been doing this way longer than him. There's no right. way those numbers are real. Like, he's talking to a lot of people, but like, right. he's got some nutty like 2,000 episodes, and I'm like, I think he just sort of made that up.
Right.
I'm not sure I believe that. So. Yeah.
You know, but we have been doing this through lots of life and not getting multi-million dollar contracts from Spotify. And so
that is correct. We'll take some money.
Spotify, if you're listening or anybody else for that matter, we don't care who you are. If you want to pay us to do what we do, we would be more than happy to do that. We have been doing this thing independently for 20 years, mostly just out of, you know, our own pocketbooks. And now with Patreon guys, which we appreciate a ton. Because you do pay to keep this show going. I'll mention all y'all here in just a second. But it is a labor of love in a lot of ways that have kept us here 20 years. And I wouldn't give it up for anything. It's great. We could get more nostalgic on 20 years, but
let me just mention that if somebody would give us some money, then we could stay home and hang out with kids.
Right.
And that would have time to do the show, and that would be awesome. I have a couple of reasons in the next few months to come to your part of the neighborhood.
Yep.
One of those was posted by our buddy Logan a couple of days ago and said, "You guys need to do this." And I was like, "Well, crap, he's right."
We really do.
So, we've got some reasons for me to come that way for the first time in about 5 years. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, that's going to take some cash.
Yep.
So if you want us to go out and do a little research on the Nintendo Switch 2, we will do that because it's in Tommy's neighborhood. But we're going to need some help.
Yep.
So let's say what's up to the Patreon guys, because we need more.
Yes, for sure. So Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. Thank you all for your support. Again, it means the world to us in multiple ways, because one, it helps us do this show, that you guys financially support the show, that we can both pay for web hosting, which we're just talking about, paying for games that we play, all that stuff. But also because it's just super cool that there's like people who care enough about what we do that would give their money to see that continue. And that's super cool. And so I don't know why we're so sappy today. I feel really sappy. Got 20 years and just like got in my head. So,
I can tell you why we're sappy, because we haven't been here in a month.
This is true too.
And we say this a lot, but when we go a long time like this, we get a little mental because all both of us do when we're not here is work. And I hate to admit it, but I don't really think either one of us have a whole lot of friends. I mean, y'all got a couple friends and friends with kids and of that, but that's that's a little different.
Yes.
So, 100%. We get a little mental when we're not here.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's what that is.
Yep, for sure. And the good news is, hopefully, knock on wood, if I can find MDF, whatever. the good news is we should be getting back into at least some semblance of routine with schools getting back all rolling, everything like that.
So
hopefully, it's not going to be as big of a gap between shows for at least the next few months while we've got routine going. When the summer hits, who knows? We'll deal with that when it gets here. But in some ways, the school year actually makes it easier to find time to do this, because at least we have predictable schedules.
So. Yep.
All that said, should we talk some games? Am I missing anything
else
before we get into
it? We got it all. No, we do have segments.
We do have segments. Let's do that because that's fun. This is we've got segments plural. You'll see. Won't spoil anything here. It's fun. So we'll start with the cabbage. The cabbage who popped up on Discord. It's been fun chatting with him again. Who's been around since near the beginning of the show. So speaking of 20 years, was way too young when he started listening to this show, but is now an adult. Thankfully, it can be. It is very good to have the cabbage back around and providing content. And so here is the cabbage.
What the fuck? Y'all still have this shit working? Okay. This is cabbage, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's straight up just like a time capsule, isn't it? It's just like, it's just the same old shit. It just didn't change. So, okay. I guess I should say something. So, y'all should pre-order Monster Hunter Wilds and play that. You should play Monster Hunter. You should actually play some good games for once. That's all I gotta say. Okay, goodbye.
I forgot to preface that there's going to be some language because it's cabbage. So everybody knows now. Disclaimer in retrospect. And we should play some good games for once.
I think he actually just said, how can we possibly still fuck this man? Seriously, that's what he just said.
That is the underlying message of all of that for sure. Good God, guys, how are you still doing this ridiculous thing? So yeah. 20 years, you know, like that's the way it's so anyway, very, very good to have the cabbage around and looking forward to hearing more from Cabbage still, which at some point he may want us to not call him Cabbage anymore, but he referred to himself as Cabbage. He's always been Cabbage on this show. So until he tells us otherwise, he is Cabbage to us.
Well, can I be totally honest? I'm going to pull out the cripple card and say that he can tell us that he doesn't want to be called the cabbage. I'm probably still going to call him the cabbage. So yeah, there's that.
Yep. That's absolutely fair. We have two more segments. So believe it or not, it just rolled in. These are both about the Game Awards. So we're a little bit behind here, but again, we haven't done a show in a long time. So a little bit of catching up here. And from two incredibly special guests who we had no idea listened to the show, but decided to send in some segments. And so we will play them back to back and give you some thoughts here in just a bit.
Hello, my beautiful Gaming Uncensored listeners. It's your favorite president calling. That's right. It's President Trump. Always and forever, the president. Unfortunately, last night we had an absolute travesty of events. It's never been this bad in the history of the Game Awards. It's never been this bad. They denied our beautiful Elden Ring Game of the Year once again as it deserved. They denied it. Fake votes. Game jumping in massive dumps of fake votes for Astrobot. Who's ever even heard of Astrobot? Nobody's played it. Nobody's played the game. The crowds for Astrobot were small, but the crowds for Elden Ring, they were quite large. It should have won, but it didn't. A travesty for the ages. America, we can't allow this to happen again. Elden Ring Night Rain must win Game of the Year for 2025. If it doesn't, I'm not sure we will ever recover.
Folks, last night it was a travesty for all Americans. They gave the award anyway. But by the way, Astrobot won Game of the Year. Nobody's played it. Nobody's played Astrobot. Not a single soul can claim that they've played Astrobot. And yet they gave it the award, Game of the Year. It's a travesty. It shouldn't have happened. It should have gone to Elden Ring. And we all know it. Next year. Next year, Game of the Year. Elden Ring, Nightfall. Anyway. By the way!
So, there you go. The 46th and the 45th, 47th president with their thoughts on the Game Awards. And who knew we had such reach? We were just talking about Joe Rogan, but there we go.
I've got no words. I guess all I would say is, gentlemen, if you really are out there, I'm crippled. And Medicaid needs to work. So send me an email. I'm just saying, Medicaid needs to work. If you're really out there, send me an email, because I've definitely got some stuff to say.
There you go. I leverage your position.
That is correct, sir. That is correct.
It is nice to see some bipartisanship about Elden Ring, apparently, and we are still in the minority opinion. It is.
Yes. It kind of goes back to what the Cabbage was saying about that we need to play some real games.
Yeah. Monster Hunter apparently, like, I think if we had the time, and I think that's the key for Monster Hunter, is that we really just have to have the time for it. And we don't. But I think if we had the time for Monster Hunter, I think it would be much more our thing than Elden Ring is. Like, it just feels like it's more, at least for me, it feels like it would scratch an itch better than Elden Ring, which hasn't done that for me yet.
Well, and I'm about to say something that's probably going to give him a stroke. But I think Monster Hunter is, in a lot of ways, probably very similar to playing The Witcher. I mean, like you're, that's what The Witcher, he's a monster hunter.
Right.
Like, I think it's that similar thing. And so I think you're right. I think we would dig it. It's just about the time, which I say again, if you guys want to pay us to stay home with kids, I will move to where he is so he can stay home with kids and we can do this. I'll do it.
I will,
without a doubt. It will happen if you'll just give us money to be able to do that.
Or find us somebody who will give us money. Because yes. That would work too.
Yeah.
Do have to obviously thank Cabbage for all three of those. It's good to have the Cabbage back, and it's good to have the Cabbage doing ridiculous things, including fairly solid impressions. First time I heard those, I was like, all right, man. You got it. That's like, that was solid. So
we may have to bring them both back.
I know. I like it. And see what else he could do. Like, if he could do those, like Cabbage, like he's going to be our like guest, like mimic that we have on this show. What is the guy's name? Oh, I'm blanking on it. Does such good impressions. Was on Mike and Mike in the Morning. I'm dating myself at this point. But he came on Mike and Mike in the Morning all the time. It would just blow through the impressions. And
who is it? I know who like, you're talking about.
That's I don't know. What I got in my head, and now I can't get it out of my head.
Because you've now dated yourself, and you'll think of that in a minute. At some point before the end of the show, the baby doesn't wake up. We really need to talk about Bob Uecker. I'm just saying that we need to get that in there somewhere. We need to talk about Mr. Baseball. Everybody listening doesn't have a clue who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But we do need to have a chat about that.
Yes, for sure. Frank Caliendo.
Frank. Yeah.
I had to Google it. I didn't remember that, but Frank Caliendo.
Love me some Frank. I just blew your ears out right there.
It's all right.
Yeah. I am. We're
still here. All that said, we should talk about some games. We should talk about some Indiana Jones, because I'm jonesing to talk about some Indiana Jones. I didn't even mean that to be a pun, but it worked out nicely. Because that's all I've played for a month and a half at this point.
And you're ahead of me. I'm trying to catch up, but it ain't working.
Yeah.
I'm behind you, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours maybe.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I'm behind you is because I do have a guide open, but the way that I'm using the guide is that I'm just sort of stumbling around and then going back and making sure that I didn't miss anything major.
Yeah.
And so because I'm stumbling around, I'm literally just wandering through different places and trying to see what I can find. And it's a whole lot of fun playing it that way.
Yeah.
And what I'm curious to talk to you about is that I feel like I'm playing Beyond Good and Evil. Like, you're walking around, you're taking pictures, there's some light combat. That's what it feels like, is that I'm playing Beyond Good and Evil, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I have multitudes of thoughts on this. Generally speaking, I agree, except for the pacing. And this to me became much more of an issue in Giza. It was less of an issue in the Vatican, and it has been less of an issue since I've left Giza. So I don't know if it's just that section of the game where
it's pacing, huge.
It's really big, and it just, the flow doesn't feel great to me of how, like, the narrative and the side quests and that kind of stuff pull you along. Like, it's not open world-ish enough to be fun in its own right to just go explore and kind of stumble upon things. Like, you can, and there are a few things you stumble upon that you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. But the game's built more linearly than that. And so, like, if you try to go just explore, you end up in places that you, like, can't get to yet or aren't supposed to be, and it just kind of...
And that's why I have the guide open, because...
For sure.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's... I will be totally honest. IGN is still getting our money, and this is why.
because I'm
using the IGN guide. Because, I mean, you can't, there's a fenced off area that you can't get into yet. And you're like, you know.
Yeah, and that's so you have to play it kind of linearly. And so it's not like a pure exploration kind of game, but it's kind of built to feel like an exploration kind of game. And so I just get frustrated with it around that. I like the Beyond Good and Evil comp, but Beyond Good and Evil is just a much better game overall, but
yes,
especially in that pacing part of it, of like helping you flow through the game in a way that you feel comfortable. Like I said, it was better in the Vatican. The Vatican had its own issues. It has been better since I've left Giza, but post Giza so far has been very linear, like very little exploration. But the pacing and the story beats and the cinematic like nature of it, all that kind of stuff works way better when it's not this big area. Like Flaw was trying to do like a big set piece and not having the kind of narrative support to make it feel like you're immersed in this world. I love the environment in Giza. I thought it was awesome.
Great.
Like, the fact that you get to go in the Sphinx and like whatever, like super fun. But it just was like, after that kind of cool factor kind of settled, I was like, oh man, I got to just run from here to there. And there's kind of a fast travel system, but it's kind of the signposts, whatever, you know, like I don't care about that much. And trying to navigate like, oh, those are Nazis that are going to like be mad at me, while these Nazis over here aren't going to be mad. And just like a lot of it just feels like a burden. Like it's not gameplay that's like challenging and fun and interesting. It's gameplay that I'm like, this is annoying. You know, I don't want to be annoyed when I'm playing a game.
I said this to you on text. I don't think I've said it on the air. The gameplay. How do I say this? Because I like the game.
I do too.
The like, game's clear. Awesome.
Yes.
But and every single article I read, I sent you the Game Rant article, because every single article that I read is from people that are either done with the game or are substantially further in than we are, and all of them love this thing. like multiple places, people talking about Game of the Year, people talking about how the Game Awards need to be moved because Indies got screwed.
Right.
And this comes up every year that there's some game that didn't get considered because it came out in December. Yeah. That, like, everybody that I see other than Gene Park, who you mentioned on the last show, loves this thing. And I don't feel that way about it yet. I think you and I are both hoping that we get there, but the main reason that I don't feel that way about it is the gameplay.
Yeah.
Because I have issues with the way they did the swing. Yes. And how precise it has to be, and if you don't hit the button just right, or if you don't swing just right, you're going to die.
Yeah, and let me back you up on this one, because this is one where, you know, we could say accessibility kind of thing or whatever. Like, I struggle with it terribly. And this is one of the reasons that I think the first person aspect is flawed for this game. Like, I really think it would be better in third person. But if nothing else, when you go into those kind of platforming moments, when you're climbing, it goes into third person.
Right.
But when you're swinging, it doesn't. I just think it would be so much easier to line that up. Because sometimes you have to, like, swing, let go, look, and then, like, right. Do your whip.
I just did that. I did that because I found one of the what do you call the stone tablets. I stumbled on to one of those that is unlisted. It's not on the map. I stumbled into one of those. And it was like, okay, there's two bars here.
Yeah.
And so, like, but the chasm was too wide.
Yep.
So, like, you have to connect the one and then swing and then hit F and connect to the other, and you're trying to hit W so that he keeps his momentum. And, like, I have, like, two fingers that work, and it's like, it's this is sacrilege to say, and I'm sorry, because I know what they're trying to do, but for crying out loud, Miyamoto was right with Breath of the Wild and putting in the auto jump. Like, okay, this is Indiana Jones, right? This is about being in Indiana Jones and being cool. And if you, as the player, make the maneuvers that they want you to make the first or second time, you feel cool.
Yeah.
If you've got to do it 40 times, it gets really annoying.
Yeah.
So I believe it should have been more automatic than it actually is. And I would have been really ecstatic, because there's some really cool things that they tried to do that if you nail them, they're fabulous.
Yes. So let me expound on that, because I think you put your thumb on my biggest complaint with the game, is that it doesn't know what it is as a game very well. Like, it doesn't have a really good definition in how it plays, because it is cinematic at times, but, like, the most cinematic moments in the game are just cinematics that you have no, like, interaction with. And there's so many, like, cool, like, very Indiana Jones action movie moments that I'm just sitting there holding the controller in my hand, not doing anything. And I'm like, get me involved in this. And then the exact opposite, every time I go to open a door, it's like, press X, now press down, now press forward. And I'm like, that doesn't feel interactive. Like, that doesn't make me feel like Indiana Jones. Like,
and last show, I said this would make an awesome VR title.
Yes.
If they had put this out on VR, we would be looking at a 90, and it would be Game of the Year.
It would be the inverse with that issue, because then it would feel immersive. But with a keyboard or with a controller, that doesn't feel immersive. But the things that could feel immersive are these action set pieces where you are actually quick time events or whatever it is. And we've talked plenty about quick time events, but at least something that's interactive during the like most fun action sequences, because you run into like bosses a couple points in the game, like bosses use that term generally here, but the big bad guys, and the whole scene plays like, I just played one out that like, I won't spoiler too much.
I don't care.
There's a whole like back and forth with an antagonist that he ends up dying that I didn't press a button between the point that like I first saw him and he died, right? Like that had anything to do with him. There was a little gameplay mechanism that happened in between like that point when he shows up and the point where he dies. But the one little gameplay bit didn't have anything to do with him. He wasn't a part of it. Everything with this character was in the cinematics. And I'm like, I didn't interact with that character at all in real time. You know, like it was just all in. And I'm just like, that's where it's not pulling off the being a cinematic game very well. But it's also not a like combat game. I fight so little in this game, and almost all of my fighting is in stealth.
I'm getting better with the fighting, and I really kind of like it.
Really?
I really like, I'm not good at it, but I really kind of like it, because I've learned, especially like you talked about stealth, I've learned that if you want to make it easy on yourself, you just walk up behind somebody and grab them and just beat the snot out of them.
Right.
And that, like, it's fabulous. It's amazing to just pummel somebody.
The thing like, that is most rewarding to me still is what we talked about on the last show, was just finding random like improvised weapons in the environment and using those, because that's such an Indiana Jones thing. I have shot a gun a couple of times in the game, and every time I have, I've ended up dying. Once I've at the point that
it's loud.
Yeah, I'm done anyway. I have not killed a person with a gun in the game in like then not having to restart. You know, like I just don't see the purpose of gunplay at all in this. And I don't see the purpose for the most part of like walking up to somebody and initiating combat, with a few exceptions. Like there are a few times where that makes sense, but most of the time I'm like stealth with an improvised weapon and taking guys out. Like that's 95% of my combat.
And if you watch the reviews are very clear. There's no point in fighting except for a couple of very specific spaces. I did the boxing ring in the Vatican, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah,
because of a bug that of the way that the game is set up, I can actually do the combat pretty well just using two mouse buttons. I like it if the way the controls are set up, it takes like four. But yeah. I decided I was going to try this thing where I put the right click on the parry and the block and just see what happens, and it works. Like I it's a bug. I'm sure they didn't mean to do it, but for a guy that doesn't need more button presses,
yeah,
it really works, and it's fun to get in a boxing ring and just beat the snot out of somebody,
which is great. And there are places for that. Right. One of the things that drives me crazy about the game, again, I feel like it's designed mostly to kind of stealth around and take guys out in that fashion. Because if you're getting into like fights with Nazis that know you're there, you're probably screwed. Especially as you get deeper into the game, because more of them have guns. And when like one has a gun, you're screwed. Like you get taken out very quickly. But the like leveling system where you find the books and spend the points to, you know, get new abilities and that kind of stuff, like they're all for combat.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't need any of these because I don't fight, you know. With, again, there's the exceptions. There's some boss fights where you have to, you know, just like have to go at a guy, and so it's nice to have it then. But almost all of the game, like I have all of these like abilities that I've unlocked because I have enough points to unlock basically everything. Because if you're doing the side stuff, you're gonna have enough points to unlock everything you find. I've got like two of those abilities that are actually meaningful for the way that I play the game, which is fine. Like, but like I am not a completionist. We've talked about this a bunch in before. Right. Like, I just don't have the patience to be.
And I am.
Games.
Which, yeah.
And so, like, if you make it intriguing to me, if you make it where something that I care to do, I will do it. But if it's collecting items for leveling purposes, especially if the leveling purposes I don't see any real benefit from, I'm going to stop doing it, which I have. I didn't collect every item in Giza. I didn't collect every item in the Vatican. I did more in the Vatican. And then I was at the point where I'm like, oh, I don't need more of the points, whatever they're called. I don't remember what they're called off the top of my head, but the experience points that you get throughout.
Adventure points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need any. I have more than I have like ability to spend. And it's just not compelling to me to go find these, you know, artifacts or whatever, or find every picture spot. Like, I'm going to take every picture that I come across because, you know, why not? But I'm not going to spend a bunch of time just going and finding those things with not getting any tangible benefit from that in the game. And that's in part because the tangible benefits that they're providing me aren't things that I use. And that's where I'm still like, what is this game trying to be? Like, what are you, how do you want me to play this? Because it feels like I'm playing it different than you want me to, but I also feel like I'm playing it the way that you designed it to be played.
I think it's an accessibility thing because I'm kind of the opposite, because I'm getting every one of those because each one of them that I get keeps me alive longer.
Sure.
And makes it easier for me to play the game. And so I go for those whenever I can find them, whether it's more stamina or health or whatever, because you're like you said, if I get caught, I need all the life I can get. And especially for the boss fights. And so, yeah. It's one of those things. Like, I hear what you're saying. I get it. If your hands actually work, there's like, this game is not that hard.
Yeah.
Everybody that I've seen, play it, is playing on very hard. The IGN guide is set on very hard. I am not set on very hard.
Yeah.
I'm set on moderate or something. I don't remember. I'm not on easy, but I'm not, I don't have it cranked all the way up. The reason why it's everybody's playing it on very hard is because it's not that hard.
Yeah, and I get that. By the way, my camera died.
Yes. I was just going to ask if you were aware.
Yes. I'm like, why is my face just frozen there in front of me?
Yeah.
So we'll see if it comes back here a little bit. But for the time being, I'm going to be off video, but right. Hopefully you'll hear me and
all
that good stuff. But like, the most obvious comp to this, completely unfairly, because it's just such a phenomenal game, is Uncharted, right? Like, Uncharted is, like, if they did a great Indiana Jones game, which we always talked about with Uncharted, it's kind of like playing Indiana Jones. Nathan Drake is a different character than Indiana Jones, but it's that adventure thing and everything else. And so it's a little bit unfair to try to compare this game to Uncharted, but I can't help but to try to compare this game to Uncharted because they are the most similar kind of things to me. And what Uncharted just does so much better, in my opinion, is makes you feel like you're Nathan Drake and in that world. And as cool as it is to see the whip and the hat and like the indie and the voice, again, we talked about how Troy Baker just killed it with the voice. I just feel still like in a ironic way in how they designed the game being first person, I just feel disconnected from Indiana Jones in it. I like it could be generic adventure game and I'd be like, okay, yeah, I believe that. Like it has the DNA of Indiana Jones and everything outside of, you know, how I feel playing it. And that's a problem. That's where I get. And we've talked about we're massive Indiana Jones fans. The reason I'm still playing the game is, again, in part because it's good, but I don't have time to play games that are just good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they either need to be Game of the Year nominees, which I maintain that this is not. We talked about that.
No,
and maybe they'll change my mind by the end, but at this point, I don't think it is. Or games that resonate with me in some really personal way. And the way that this game resonates me in a personal way is I just adore Indiana Jones and grew up with Indiana Jones. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think I'd still be playing. I think Giza would have lost me. I think I would have moved on after that because I just got kind of bored with it. Like I said, it's picked up since then, and now I'm kind of jonesing again, not to make a pun there, but
that's great. I love
to get back to it because like the like it gets way more action oriented in the segment right after Giza, and then something crazy happens, and now I'm like, oh, I need more details about what's happening here. And so like now I'm like hooked again. But it darn near lost me, and I don't want it to lose me because I want to love this game because it's Indiana Jones. And right now I like the game. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get around to loving the game.
I have so much more that I want to talk with you about, but I hear a baby. So do we need to?
I'm going to turn that baby monitor down for a little bit. We're going to see if he gets himself back settled, which he can.
Okay.
We're going to hope, but we should move on to Switch 2 also because we just are running up on the clock as yes. well. We have lots to say about Indiana Jones, but hey, guess what? We're going to do more shows and get to say more about Indiana Jones. And so I'm looking forward. So I'm about 2/3 of the way through, according to the guides. I'm looking forward to finishing it in part because I'm really also jonesing to get back to Final Fantasy and finish that.
Yes.
Finishing it desperately, but I want to get this done first. But I'm also, like I said, more engaged in the story of Indiana Jones now and want to kind of see it out. And so we will have more thoughts coming up, I promise.
Yeah, yep.
All that said, we do need to talk about Switch 2 because that's a fairly big deal. And so I'll mention here, like I said, all we have in show notes is Switch 2, and we don't know a ton. But there's a video. You can go find the video that Nintendo put out about the Switch 2. It's about 3 minutes long. Doesn't give you a whole lot of details. We're going to figure out more in April when they have a Nintendo Direct that's dedicated to Switch 2. And so we'll tell you a little bit of what we know and a lot of speculation and give you some of our thoughts, maybe more, most importantly, there. But just know at this point that there's just not a whole lot of details from Nintendo out there. Like I said, there's tons of speculation from everybody else out there that's been leaking stuff. And there's a whole story background about how all this leaked a couple days ago. We're not going to get into all that right now, but it's fascinating in and of its own self. So Switch 2, here's what we know. It is a little bit bigger. It is very similar in design and function as far as we could see. It is, you know, looks like a Switch, has Joy-Cons. Joy-Cons appear to be magnetic, like they snap in instead of sliding in, which is cool, but still, like, they're Joy-Cons. Has the little Joy-Con remote thing that you take the Joy-Cons out of and make a controller out of, which is ergonomically terrible as a controller, but functional. We don't have any details about like what type of screen it is. We do know that it's backwards compatible with the Switch. It still has the same game cartridge slot size, all that kind of stuff. And so all your Switch games, for the most part, should transfer over. It did have a little disclaimer about not everything's guaranteed to transfer because some require Switch 1 Joy-Cons that may not be compatible with Switch 2. We don't know all those details yet, whatever. But all in all, what it looks like is just an upgraded, slightly bigger, you would hope significantly more powerful version of this console that we've had for 8 years now. Yeah. Almost, is it the Switch 8 year anniversary is coming up in like 3 months. And so, yeah, I'll leave it there. I've got some thoughts. I kind of want to hear your thoughts before I give you mine.
So the only real question that I have, Switch 2 new games, like 25 new games or something crazy. All of that's wonderful. Is it going to be, because we have the same problem with NVIDIA right now, and we're not going to have time to get into that. We'll get into that later.
Sure.
But is it going to be enough of an upgrade to make people cough up money?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. Okay, like, Switch 2, awesome. Do I want to spend another $400 for what appears to be a, I'm not going to say slightly upgraded. I want to say slightly upgraded, but I'm sure it's going to be a substantial upgrade. But is it going to be a noticeably substantial upgrade? Is it going to be worth shelling out $400 more for a console that you basically already have? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
Does it make sense at all? I think it's wonderful. And I think we'll buy one because we're Nintendo fanboys.
Yes.
But I don't know that we're going to be happy about it.
Yes, I agree 100% with all of that. I think they're going to get our money. I don't know if I'm going to be happy that they're getting our money. I mean, really, the obvious, honest thing is, like, what games are coming out for the Switch 2 that are on the Switch? Like, that's going to be the... Is Metroid Prime 4 a Switch 2 exclusive? If so, okay, that sells it. The only game that we've kind of seen a hint of so far is Mario Kart. I will probably buy a Switch 2 for Mario Kart. Like, is the game that gets the most play in our household. I posted a picture on the Discord while we were off of us playing, but me and the family playing Mario Kart, and Genevieve legit winning her first ever match, which was a big highlight in our house. She is getting better, which is fun. And so, like, we love Mario Kart. I will buy a Switch, but not solely for Mario Kart, because I'll play other stuff on it, obviously, but that is a reason enough for me to buy a Switch. But if Mario Kart 9 is also going to be on the Switch 1, if Metroid Prime 4 is also going to be on the Switch 1, and the performance difference isn't drastic, then I don't have a good reason. I honestly hope that there's a big enough performance difference, and or those games are only playable on the Switch 2 because of performance capabilities, that it makes me go and upgrade, because I want those games to, like, blow my mind in ways that, you know, a current Switch game isn't going to blow my mind. And that's probably not a reasonable expectation for the Switch 2 either. It's not going to be a PlayStation 5. It's not going to do all the things that we expect a PC to do, or an Xbox to do, or whatever, because it's a portable console still at the end of the day. But it can do a lot more than it does right now. You look at the Steam Deck, and if it is, you know, functioning similar to the Steam Deck as far as performance goes, I think I'm going to get behind upgrading for that.
Well,
go ahead. And I'll get
I was just going to say, like, I know we're going to get one, not only because we're Nintendo fanboys, but also because we have the show.
Right.
And the bar for me has become, okay, would I play this or would I purchase this if it was not for the fact that we have gaming uncensored?
Right.
Right? Like, if it was just me playing game, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but if we didn't have this show, you and I would play a whole lot less games. We would still play games, but not the way that we do for this show. And I know everybody's listening going, well, you guys don't play enough games. You don't play more games. You don't talk about enough stuff, just like Cabbage talking about the fact that we need to play Monster Hunter 4. Yes, I understand that. What I'm saying is, with the schedules and the lots that we have, we're playing way more games than we actually have time to play. And so we're gonna have one, but I kind of feel like maybe it'll be just because we're Nintendo fanboys and because we have the show.
Yes.
And for that reason, it's not a must-have purchase.
Yeah, I agree with that. And this is all with the caveat that we know no system spec details at this point. And so maybe they'll win us over with that. I don't know if this is the thing with Nintendo, and what I'm a little bit worried about the Switch too, is Nintendo innovates and then they do something very safe. Like with the Wii, right? Like, they innovated, and then they did the Wii U, which was just not that much different. They did a Nintendo 64, and then they did the GameCube, and the GameCube was a little bit different, but not drastically different. The N64, massively successful. GameCube, did fine. Not massively successful, but did fine. The Wii, obviously, massively successful. The Wii U, bust. Like, I think we can say that pretty safely at this point. Retrospective Nintendo kind of consoles, the Wii U, not impressive. Switch, massively successful. This being so similar, at least so far on the surface, makes me worry. But at the same time, like, it also just feels like like a Switch Pro as opposed to the Switch 2. You know, like it just feels like an updated SKU in a lot of ways. Again, not knowing all the details about the hardware and all that kind of stuff. That I think that actually might work for them in that people will kind of approach it that way as well. Because, you know, like the dockless Switch, I forget all the SKU names at this point. But the one that doesn't have the Joy-Cons that come off and then whatever, you know, that's strictly designed to be portable. People bought that. Like, it was perfectly successful. The OLED Switch, successful. Like, people buy new iterations of this console because, like, they have those little improvements that people like. And this is going to at least give you improvements that you're going to like. If nothing else, just getting the Joy-Cons off of the stupid rails will be really nice. That'll be a big deal that I'm looking forward to. And so, like, there are just quality of life improvements before we get into whatever, like, it can do spec-wise better than what performance-wise better than what the original Switch does, that probably make it reasonable. Now, it's going to cost more. Like, that's, we don't know the price point yet. You said $400. I think that's probably where they're going to land. I think that feels like a safe assumption. If it comes in lower than that, I will count it a win and right, like, go out and pick it up even quicker. If it comes in more expensive than that, I'm gonna have a lot of questions. That's gonna be hard to justify. And I could see it coming in more expensive.
Okay. So can I add, do we have enough time for me to ask you about the pro aspect of it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because for Christmas, I have one niece that's about to go off to college, right? And so for Christmas, she got, instead of a school computer, she got an iPad Pro. Keyboard, stylus, the whole thing. Right, my brother has one. I know other people that have one. They're apparently fabulous. I was going to ask you if you have one because of where you work, but that's the comp to me. Like I don't need an iPad Pro. It's not something that I'm super interested in. But the people that have the iPad Pro really like it.
Yeah.
But it's because they're using it as a laptop.
Right.
Right? So the Switch does not have that. Like, okay, so I'm going to go back to NVIDIA for a second, because what I feel like this is a new system with more RAM and a better video processor. That's what I feel like this is. And I understand that people buy this stuff, but man, $400 is a lot of money.
Yep.
Like, if I'm gonna put $400 into something at this point, I'm putting it into a 5080 or 5090. That's just where I'm at. And I feel differently about the Steam Deck, because we have a Steam Deck and I bought Avery's Steam Deck, and I have not regretted for one second buying Avery's Steam Deck. She loves that thing. It's worth every single dime. Yeah. I don't know if the Switch 2 is going to be on that level.
Yeah, and that's kind of a big question to me, is can they sell it on whatever software they've got coming? Because it's Nintendo, and we love Nintendo software, and so that's going to be the key. If everything they show, this is that April event to me, is kind of everything about Switch 2 right now. It's like, okay, you're going to come out with the specs, and we're going to see, okay, here's how, you know, what resolution you could get on this slightly bigger screen, and here's how many frames you get per second. You know, as much as Nintendo cares and goes into any of those details, which isn't going to be a ton, but, you know, I want to see that. But then, like, I hope that's like 5 minutes of this presentation. The rest of the Nintendo Direct is like, here are the games that you're only going to be able to play on the Switch 2 because they're so freaking cool and whatever. And that it's not like, here's Zelda, you know, higher res on Switch 2, which I don't mind revisiting Zelda, you know, like, right. It's one of those games that I obviously adore. We've talked about on and on and on. But like, if that's what you're giving me is a whole bunch of like, here's how your Switch games are going to look better and play better versus here's Metroid Prime 4, here's Mario Kart 9, here's, you know, like, what's a Nintendo franchise that we've been missing for a while? Whatever the next solo Mario experience is. That's what, like, are you going back to Mario Galaxy? Are you doing a new, like, we haven't got, like, just solo 3D Mario, unless I'm blanking on something. We got the one on the Switch. I don't remember what it's called off the top of my head. Odyssey. We got Odyssey on the Switch. Which was fine, but like, what's the next big Mario game? Like, we're ready for a new big Mario game, and maybe that's something that is exciting on the Switch too. If you don't give me those things, like, then I have a lot harder time, because at the end of the day, it's all about the games. And if you're just telling me that I can play more of the games I already play at, you know, on a slightly bigger screen, that's not justifying $400 to me.
Absolutely. And that's part of the reason that I have to find a way to get to your neighborhood,
yes,
for the end of April, because we have to go to that event.
Yes.
So that's going to be absolutely necessary.
Yes. I'll mention that. That is a good thing to kind of wrap here on. So the big Nintendo Direct is at the beginning of April, and then they're going to do Switch 2 experience events all across the globe, starting in North America with New York on the 4th through 6th of April, then moving to LA, then Dallas. Dallas is the 25th through the 27th, and then in Toronto, also during the 25th and 27th. Why you're not double booking it anyway. And then going to Europe and then Australia and then Asia, kind of wrapping up in the summer. We don't have a release date on it yet, other than 2025. They're shooting to get it out this year, but I'm sure, like, we'll see a ton of it during the summer. And then if they truly get it out this year, it'll come out holiday season, because that's obviously when you're going to release stuff. And so we'll see it end of year at this point, it looks like. But again, to me, everything is, what do you show us at that Nintendo Direct to say, here it is. Other than like the mock-up, we saw the mock-up. It was pretty, but it didn't show like anything running on the thing. It showed us a little bit of Mario Kart, and that's all we got. The one bit of innovation that I don't know what it is or if it will be in any way cool, but there's one thing that I've noticed so far that there were rumors about, there was a patent thing about, it appears to be true, is on the Joy-Cons, there's an optical sensor like an optical mouse. And there's this little part of the trailer where the Joy-Cons are like scurrying around with like the straps looking like tails on the back of a mouse. Like, you could take the Joy-Con, flip it on its side, and use it like a mouse, which is kind of fascinating to me. I don't know how you utilize that in a practical way, because you don't have a keyboard. So like, having it kind of function as a mouse, which is something that you just talking about the iPad Pro and how that has become like a replacement to a laptop. Like, my students at this point, my college students that I teach, don't really understand the idea of a mouse very well, because they use them so rarely. If they use anything, it's all touchscreen. But everything's touchscreen. So I'm just like, are we like trying to like subversively like reteach people how to use a mouse?
Saying as an old guy, for crying out loud, what these kids do not know is absurd.
It is wild. So anyway, I'm just like fascinated. I'm like, what do you think you're going to do with this functionality of something that seems like it's kind of archaic tech? And in the way that it does analog into current gaming with mouse and keyboard support, there's nothing yet that says it's mouse and keyboard. And if it is mouse and keyboard, I don't want to use a Joy-Con as the mouse. I just want a real mouse, you know? Like,
let me plug that bad boy in USB. Does it have a USB port? Give me a freaking USB port.
It does have one more USB port. That is something I was very happy to see, because the current Switch, Switch 1 only has the one that if you dock it, you're plugged in there and you get like the one more on the dock or whatever. There is a USB port on the top of Switch 2. I don't know what it's going to be used for, but it's there.
I'm just going to reiterate that you haven't been here yet. We've got the game room. We've got the big screen. We've got all the stuff. Yes. Like, give us all the USB that we need and we'll make it happen.
Yes, for sure. All that said, we need a wrap so I can go get this baby, because he's not getting himself back to sleep.
Yep. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to skip everything that you normally hear, other than go to the Discord because there's lots of stuff happening over there. There's guys always over there. There's always discussion. And there, it's a good place to be.
There's a link on gaminguncensored.com. I'll go by and make sure it's not expired. I don't know why Discord links expire. I'm so not wise about Discord. And so let me make sure that hasn't expired, but that's a way to get over there and connect with us.
Yes. And if you are trying to find the link and it is expired, just let us know. We will send you a link. We want you over there. We want the community. We want all of that. We also, if you are not a Patreon member, we will take your money because I've got to get to his house at the end of April.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to be cheap because I have to bring somebody with me. So if you are not a Patreon member, please, please consider doing that. We promise that around April, during that event, there will be content.
For sure.
We promise that around Summer Game Fest, there will be content. And we will take care of you, just not right this second.
Yes.
So if you are not a Patreon member, please consider doing that because we will take your money. Other than that, you know where everything is. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.